There's a cue here.
Fresh you up.
Russell. Sherman Skolnick. Executive Intelligence Review. Dr. Beter. National Connection. Why? Well, we begin the story in 1969, as we reported last time. We're going to go back and continue running on the same spot. And it begins with Captain Beefheart, of course. The amazing statement he made in 1969 was that there are 40 people in the world, and 5 of them are hamburgers. Now, I went into deep, profound research into this statement, and after 16 years, I am prepared to go public with the consequences of Dr. Beter and Captain Beefheart's insidious association. But I can't go through 16 years of material now, so let's start with 1980, an exciting year. What happened in 1980? 1980? What month? What month can we begin with in 1980? Any nominations? August, I mean? August. Okay. You know, you're right. That's the month I was going to begin, because when I was in Portugal, I don't want to interject my personal experience because it's purely a scientific exploration, but in August 1980 in Portugal, we discovered an article in the London Observer. The article was all about the Nugent-Hen Bank. Can you believe that? The Nugent-Hen Bank, no one had heard of it. There was no coverage of it in New York or the Washington Post or any assorted media on our continent. It took the goddamn oligarchs in London to let us know, but they were up to other designs. That's why they let us know. The key figure in the Nugent-Hen Bank was John Paisley. John Paisley, you're into this. John Paisley, you know who he is. You know? Okay. Well, here he was. He worked on the U2 project with Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, that's significant. That's the first figure then services Lee Harvey Oswald and John Paisley. Now, John Paisley worked a lot of intelligence work from the late 60s and early 70s, but he was found dead in 1978 because he was... No, shit! I don't know which one you can hear. Is this loud? I'm in trance, so I'm not sure, okay? Just tell me which one's louder. Or this one. That one, thank you. Okay. John Paisley. He died in 1978 when they're doing the House Select Committee investigation, and they have to have people like George Amorim, Jules Benji, and China, and John Roselli. They all died. Why? That's what Sherman Skolnick is famous for. Why? Well, we'll tell you why. Because in August 1980, it turned out that they found 12 other people dead that were involved with the Nugent handbag. And the Nugent handbag was named after Frank Nugent and Michael Hand. Michael Hand worked for the Green Berets in the 1950s, and he was caught and trained by an old Nazi war criminal named Francis. Francis worked with Fritz Kramer, and you all know, you regular listeners, that Fritz Kramer keeps showing up, and I want to know why! So, and I know why, but it's rhetorical, you know, I'm going to tell you why. So, pardon my rhetoric. So the point is that Nugent Hand were found deficient in certain cover-ups. And though this has something to do with the Battle of the Harvest Moon, we can't get into that yet, because you need a little groundwork on who is what and where that's reported in the newspapers. Dr. Beter will explain what's not reported in the newspapers, and never will, because he set up the Export-Import Bank for John Kennedy. That's a fact. Okay, so he's like Premier Lockheed's aide or something. He's very important. So did he go crazy? Well, we'll find out. Okay. So Frank Nugent from Spain is found dead. Michael Hand disappears. He can disappear. He doesn't die because he's a Green Beret. They never die. Only the stupid little bankers like Frank Nugent. Okay, then what happens next? Oh, Dr. Peter predicted Ronald Reagan's going to get shot. And he said it'll happen very shortly. And it happened very shortly. November 1980 to March 31st is a very short period of time. I mean, they gave John Kennedy 1,000 days. 1,000 days. Everybody, anything. Okay, now the amazing thing is that the night before Ronald Reagan died, did he die? Oh, he didn't die. I got you there. Okay, the day before he was replaced, what happened? Frank Camper, who surfaces 5 years later, or 4.5, depending on which calendar you're using, okay? Some of us are members of the true church and we use the Hebrew calendar, which is a little off, okay? Now, 4 years later, Frank Camper is discovered working with the Sikhs. But what was he doing the night before Reagan got shot? He's walking around a nuclear power plant in Alabama, rehearsing blowing it up. Rehearsing Chinatown, or one of those movies that somebody put out 7 years ago, and then they recycled it for some reason. But anyways, here he is. Frank Camper is caught with 12 other terrorists snooping around. Now, were they getting ready for Alexander Haig's coup? Were they going to sabotage his coup? Or were they going to sabotage George Bush's coup? That's the question. Okay, it's a divided White House. But you got to know what the first team was. And it's Mae Brussel. Sherman Skolnick. Well, we're getting close to the edge. Sherman Skolnick will explain who they are on the other side, okay? So Ronnie gets nailed, and Frank Camper's caught, and then 2 weeks later after Ronnie gets nailed, and not to mention that Jodie Foster's picture was in Newsweek magazine the day Hinckley shot Reagan. Now that's mind control, right? I mean, they put the little picture in this Newsweek, and that gives John Hinckley the clue to shoot somebody, and he's got his alibi. Ha! What happened 6 weeks later due to problems in Italy due to the P2 Society being exposed? They gotta shoot the Pope, and the Pope has to be shot. Why? Because he knows about the P2. The P2 was headed by Lucio Gelli, who was at Ronald Reagan's inauguration with Frank Sinatra, and Lucio Gelli worked with Miguel Sandona, who's in jail at the time. Why? Because he was a Vatican banker. Okay, then we come to, let's say, September 81. I got this all memorized, you know, but I'm improvising. I could do it backwards if I wanted to, but this band, they're pretty good, so we'll go forward, right? They know how to improvise. Hey, look! They're leaving, but that's okay. I'm prepared to operate with only one musician, or maybe none. In September 1981, Dr. Meter says on September 30th that Anwar Sadat is going to be shot. Okay, it happens 6 days later. Wow, I get the tape on October 8th, and they say, oh, no, I got the tape. And what happened? I said, no, he made the tape on the 7th and mailed it to me in Toronto in a courier delivery, so he faked it. But no, then I called my associates in Washington, and they told me they got the tape on October 4th. So that meant Dr. Meter didn't make the recording before the 6th of October. So he knew. How did he know? It's something to do with the export-import bank? I don't know. I'll know in about 10 minutes, okay? But you can't know yet. So Sadat gets shot, and the day before he's shot, George Bush is meeting with Mubarak. Mubarak's sitting on the podium with Sadat, and in a hail of bullets, and everybody gets shot except Mubarak. Why? Why? Because he happened to know George Bush. The next event is the Falklands War, and we've all been explained why the Falklands War happened. Regular listeners know that the Bolsheviks who run the Pentagon were going to nuke Russia, so the Rockefellers made a tentative alliance with the Russians and had to blow up. They had to cause a problem, which involved Argentina and the phony Malvinas, but they really were having problems in St. Georgia Island, where, and this is true, this is not funny, this is true, they blew up the St. Georgia base, temporarily stalled the Bolsheviks' plan, but the Bolsheviks had to come back with a coup in June 82, and they pulled it off. Can you believe it? They forced Haig to resign on June 25th, and Peter said it had to happen by June 27th. He was right again. But who would believe it? So we hear what Mae Brussels has to say. Mae Brussels does a tape on the June 15th, 16th period of 1982, and that tape names 7 deaths that occurred during that week. So I think we can use that as some kind of indication of a coup that took place just before June 25th, 82. Because you had Raymond Dunneman, the Secretary of Labor, the chief witness against him, died, okay? The pistol that was used for Mae McAgnew to shoot the Pope was found that week, okay, the guy who sold it. And on a few other incidents, which it would take too much time to explain, but the point is there was a ballet of 7 incidents that Mae Brussels elucidated that happened in the middle of June. So obviously something was happening. I mean, you and I weren't being killed, but the guys who control us were being killed. So that kind of battle will eventually get to us, right? It'll eventually come down to us. But at the point, they're fighting among themselves like dinosaurs. Okay, that is June 82, the battle. The first strike in September 82 didn't happen. So what did they have to do? They had to bust John DeLorean on October 18, 1982. John DeLorean is a member of the old Rockefeller cartel. He was paid $25,000 by J. Peter Grace, a Vatican Knight of Malta, the head of the American Knights of Malta. He was paid that monthly, and then later given a huge amount of money and secret telex and a various assistance for spies and mercenaries in South Africa and South America. Now, this just came out. This is in a new book by an old associate crony of DeLorean called Hard Driving, My Years with John DeLorean. You can buy it today in any store. It just came out, and it shows you on page 105 to 106 the role of John DeLorean in intelligence work. But obviously, he was part of the Rockefeller cartel because he got busted. Weinberger didn't get busted yet, right? Okay. That is October 82. Now we come to March 23rd, 1983. Space for this part. You're welcome to return when you're given instructions, okay? Okay. This is an important part, so I just want to have Jack give me a bass solo here, because this is about the March 23rd, 1983 address by Ronald Reagan to the people of the world via electric simultaneity, satellite conditions, electric corporate mixed media. He told us that he was going Star Wars. Now, why would he go Star Wars? Because they lost the first nuclear strike of September 82, which was the third one since January 1980, according to Dr. Meter. But the problem was they needed to stall it because they blew it in September 82. So I mentioned Fritz Kramer. Fritz Kramer's associate, Daniel Graham, who heads the Institute for Strategic Trade. Note, strategic trade. That means, you know, you have to have a certain security number or some kind of little classification to trade with them, to trade huge commodities. All right? Institute for Strategic Trade. Fritz Kramer works with Daniel Graham, who's the front man for the Institute for Strategic Trade. Who was Fritz Kramer? He was Kissinger's mentor. He worked for Hitler at the Battle of Normandy. This is coming out. It's true. I mean, you know, it's the same guy from Hitler's regime 40 years later. But he isn't too prominent in 1983, so they put Daniel Graham up front. Daniel Graham orders Edward Teller to make a speech. We're going Star Wars, even though Dr. Peter pointed out that we lost the Battle of Harvest Moon 6 years before in 1977. But it's all a, you know, the joke. Have you heard the latest? No, it isn't out yet. Okay, so we know what's coming, but it's a matter of programming us. So they're going to get us ready through the 80s with Star Wars. So Daniel Graham, he comes to Toronto. He travels all over the world promoting Star Wars. That's in March 83. Unfortunately, his major associate on the board of Western Goals, the chief of Western Goals, was Larry McDonald. And you know what Larry did? He got caught. He got caught in January 1983 because some ACLU plaintiffs, 131, sued the Western Goals because they were using Los Angeles Police Department computers for collecting the files on all kinds of people, actually 2 million in the Los Angeles area, but they were using them, these files, for all police departments all over America, probably here in Canada. The point is that they sued, so Larry McDonald was going to be subpoenaed. This was covered up from January to May 1983. In May, it was all over, May 1983, it was all over the LA papers, and Mae Brussels was doing some heavy coordinating and collating of information, because Larry McDonald went back to the shooting of Larry Flint, he went back to the shooting of Robert Kennedy, and the other guy, you know, the guy with the different colored skin. But remember what Beeford said? What did he say? He said, we're all colored or we wouldn't be able to see each other, right? So, ignore the first reference there. But anyway, we're talking about Martin King. Martin King, he was shot by this Alabama crew, which Larry McDonald represented, DeKalb County, which is also the county Mark David Chapman came out of. Why? Why did John Hinckley go to the same refugee camp in the mid-70s as Mark David Chapman? But back to Larry McDonald. So Larry, in May, it's being covered up in the L.A. newspapers. It's being covered there, but not in any other major media. But what happened in August, the middle of August, 1983, the Washington Post had the gall to report. Check, that's enough. Okay? Want to take a break? Okay. Just take a break, check. Okay, this is important. The bass solo set, beautiful bass solo there. He set the mood, right, for this important connection, this international connection. This is an international.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, Jack, he wants a vote. Did you like his stuff better or mine? That's 3 for Jack, and how many for me? 10. Thank you. Okay. It's called, it's a conspiracy. So, here's what happened in August 18th, 1983. This is very important. Larry McDonald gets subpoenaed by the judge in Los Angeles. Okay, the L.A. Police Department has been holding files on 2 million L.A. citizens since the 1950s. Larry McDonald's the head of the Western Goals Board. On that board was Louise Reese and John Reese. Louise Reese was the secretary for Joe McCarthy back in the 50s. Okay, so they were keeping those files in the McCarthy era for, how many years is that? Work it out. 30, no. 50, 45? No, 32. Which calendar are you using? it's in there somewhere. It's under 100, right? But don't forget that we live 200 years every 12 months at the speed of light. I mean, the famous Canadian, he had the Order of Canada. He pointed this out, Marshall McLuhan, in 1970 in Business Week. So really, that's 4,000 years ago, right? In 1955, and he was kicked off TV in 54. So here is this gang. They were holding these McCarthy files for 30 years. The problem is they got caught in 1972 and were ordered to get rid of them. They said they did. Then the citizens of L.A. found out they didn't get rid of them and told them to do it again in 1975. But they didn't get rid of them. They just told
John Reese and Larry Donald put it in their Western Goals computer. Imagine that. What did? Okay. Dip. Is that, remember Zappa's video? Dub Room Special? Is the Dub Room Special. So, here's Larry McDonald. On his board is Edward Teller and Daniel Graham. And they've just written a speech to promote Ronald Reagan's Star Wars plan. This goes directly into the White House. Now, if Larry McDonald gets subpoenaed and he's keeping his McCarthy files, what is going to happen to Ronnie, right? If he's got another election come up, he's going to go for 8 years. He's the Roosevelt of the 80s, right? So it had to be stopped. A little bit of finagling in the summer 80s re-involved Kushner when they had to kill Vicky Morgan. That was part of the deal. Remember when Vicky Morgan died, the mistress of Vesco and Reagan's best friend, the Bloomfields? Remember Alfred Bloomfield? Well, Alfred Bloomfield and his wife were caught with a scandal because Vicky Morgan have been seeing Albert and being paid on the side. So they killed her, okay, and Skolnick, Sherman Skolnick talked about this on his tape, and the Secret Service agents visited him in January 85 because he talked about it, broadcast on his phone radio system, and so he took them outside and explained in his old jalopy to the Secret Service agents who had this death threat for him. He told them, you guys wrote it, and he gave them a seminar for half an hour on what the history of the Secret Service was and treasonous activities within America. That's guts, okay? Meanwhile, all his buddies are getting killed, but Sherman, who's in a wheelchair, just telling them where to go. So they didn't fool him with their phony letter that he was going to suffer a death threat because he knew he wrote it. So he kept blabbing on Vicky Morgan. So then that was in July 83. So what happens in September 83? Larry McDonald takes a plane ride, right? You remember where he went? Okay, he went there and they killed him, right? They blew up the plane. So who blew up the plane, Russia or the United States? Well, May Brussels said the United States. 2 years later, Nation magazine is saying, yes, there's evidence in that area. But May had the gall to say it 2 years ago, as soon as it happened. And she knew why, because she knew the significance of Larry McDonald. He had to be killed. He really had to be killed, because any connection through him to the White House blows the Star Wars program. Okay? So what happened? Larry Flint decides to protest this action. He doesn't believe the Russians shot it, or he doesn't think we should be hysterical. So May Brussels hears about this ad in the New York Times. And she goes down and introduces herself and explains who shot him. He knew who shot him, Joseph Franklin. But he didn't know anybody else knew. So he published. He was so impressed with May Brussels, he gave her a magazine. The magazine came out November 22nd. By November 12th, Gordon Neville, Mitchell Werbel, and G. Gordon Liddy were in Larry Flint's house working him over. And they raped his daughter. And isn't that incredible? Okay. Meanwhile, Larry McDonald's dead. And what happens after Larry McDonald dies? You think of Dieter's prediction. Okay, the September 82 first strike didn't happen, but he said in the late 1983, the war hysteria would be built up again. So what happens? They shoot down the KAL-007. 2 weeks later, South Korean cabinet, okay? South Korean cabinet, since I'm improvising, we'll say the South Korean cabinet, was blown up in Burma, okay? And a lot of people got mad, but this caused a little tension between North and South Korea because they blame North Korea. That makes another little hot spot. And then in the middle of October, they blow up the Marine barracks, which Dieter predicted on my, I read his summary last week. He predicted that in September 82, when the Marines were brought back in due to the massacre of the Lebanese peasants in those areas, or the Palestinian refugees. Remember that, when they blew them away on September 17th, the day of the first strike? That was a setup for another reason to bring the Marines back. Dieter said they're going to get killed. Well, they killed 222 of them, I think, in October 23rd, 1983. And then 2 days later, to distract from that, they invade Grenada. Now, a lot of people call me up and say, hey, Bob, it looks pretty frightening. Why is this crazy activity going on? Is somebody planning? Is somebody going to start something? I certainly thought they would with four incidents like that in 6 weeks. And meanwhile, Larry Flint is running for president using May Brussels as speechwriter. That's trouble. That's a lot of trouble. But amazingly, in February 84, the Russians brought in their Cosmospheres and zapped the area over Israel and stopped the movement toward another nuclear strike. Okay? Why? I thought I explained that with the Nugent Hand Bank. Remember Hank Nugent and Michael Hand? They were killed because they botched the January 1980 first strike. So there's going to be bodies showing up all the time. Remember Bronfman's girlfriend went out of the window over here in Hazelton Lanes, right? Remember that one? Nobody interviewed him. Nobody questioned him. I wasn't on CKLN then, so I couldn't get an interview with him. But we'll try to in the future if you keep listening. We're going to get interviews with everybody because it's the international connection. Not local politics, you know, think globally, act locally. This is the international perspective, okay? And you can't get away with what I'm doing, and you're going to get killed. So I'm going to be killed in 10 minutes, right? But who cares? Because I remember what Captain Beefheart said. I'm not even here. I just hang around for my friends. Okay? Now, that's Ed Lauder out there. Ed Lauder from Los Angeles. You know Ed Lauder? He goes around being a tough guy. He's right out in the audience. He worked for Larry Flint. Now he's trying to promote me. He wants me to make a movie to promote myself. I mean, obviously, he's working for the LAPD because I got to keep a low profile, right? I got to keep a low profile. I'm getting big trouble. Okay, that's why we're glad nobody showed up tonight. You people don't count because you all know me, right? You've been listening to the electrified voice. That's right, you know. So in February 84, Reagan says on February 7th, this is true, he says, no, we're not pulling out the Marines. On February 8th, he says, yeah, we're pulling out the Marines. Because in that 24-hour period, the Cosmosphere has knocked out the first strike attempt that had been heated up through September to December 1983. Okay, we have the election. That's a whitewash. We don't have to worry about what happened there. That was just a distraction, a red herring to get us ready for the Mengele's hoax. Remember that? We're into 1985 now. Now, what's interesting about the Mengele's hoax is it was triggered by a letter to Manfred Roeder. Manfred Roeder runs a neo-Nazi network in Germany, and he was accused of bombing Bologna in Italy, which involved Licio Gelli and the P2 and the Masonic Lodge, which Henry Kissinger was a member of, and the whole gang around Paul Marcinkus, the Vatican's Archbishop. Now, remember in 1982, when a lot of those guys died during the coup, one of the guys who died was Roberto Calvi. Roberto Calvi was found hung on Blackfriars Bridge. And anybody who reads the Executive Intelligence Review knows that the Blackfriars Bridge refers to the Order of the Black Friars. That's the secret society. That's the English branch of the P2. Okay, so it's symbolic. Who are they communicating to you? Not to me and you and I. When they kill Calvi on that bridge, they hang him there. They're not communicating to us. They're communicating within themselves, the different factions. They communicate via the media, too. Okay, but it's code. So Calvi died in 82. Archbishop Paul Marcinkus from Cicero, Illinois, the same place that Al Capone came out of. And he's old enough to work with Al Capone, just like Jack Ruby did. Jack Ruby was a runner for Al Capone. Pause. Yeah, the Evergreens. You ever heard of the Evergreens? The medium, the guy who goes in a trance and 6,000 to 7,000 entities are in his head? It's incredible. And he goes, yes. It is seen that, yes, Fritz Kramer. We have this on tape. We just did it on November 19th. We had the real summit meeting. The Reagan-Gorbachev meeting was a little camouflage microcosm of our macrocosm with the Evergreen. And we asked him if Fritz Kramer was the Nazi Fritz Kramer, and he said yes. Can you believe that? He said yes. All 6,000 of them agreed with him. 6,000 entities from another zone. They say it's the Booties Galaxy, which is a national system. That's where they're from. They agreed with May Brussel, the Fritz Kramer, and May can't get any air coverage on that matter. So Manfred Roeder, who's working with the P2 people, he gets a letter in, let's say, March 85. Okay, write that down. We'll put it on CKLN next Thursday. Okay, boys, I don't really like this one. The connection between Manfred Roeder and Ernst Zundel. Now, this is significant because they're finding out that Chinese people spy in Toronto at the Malton Airport. So why wouldn't other networks be here besides the Sikhs and the terrorism that we exposed? Did you know that the RCMP heard our interview with the EIR on October 17th and 2 weeks later busted the Sikhs in Vancouver? And we were told that they heard our interview and it gave them a direction on how to bust them. They let them go, so I think they just called them in and told them, look, you're being exposed in Toronto. Do some little diversionary activities, okay? Go back home to Vancouver. But anyways, we put a little pressure, right? Not me. The Executive Intelligence Review did. But at least CKLN put it on the air, which is to their credit, don't you think? Don't you think it's great that CKLN puts this stuff out? Their manager, their station manager, told me that we'll put this stuff out until we get a bomb threat. Okay? And we've been doing this for over a year. We haven't got a bomb threat yet. So obviously, not many people are listening to CKLN. But it's a fantastic station, because I think people listen to CKLN, but when International Connection's on, if you phone them, if you phone somebody who, when he picks up the phone, you can hear International Connection in the back, in the background, he'll change his name. He'll deny that that's his phone. That's true. Yeah, that's right. It's silly information. And which will be developed at the our next gig at Larry's Hideaway, why this information is silly. But like I said, it takes volumes to explain why Captain Beefheart said, what did he say? I know her, so it doesn't count. How about somebody? There's one person back there I don't know. He's in black. One of those men in black right there behind Andy. What do you say? He says the same thing. He's right. He said the same thing as her. There are 40 people in the world. Hamburgers? Yeah. And five of them are hamburgers. Okay. Now, in a situation where the word makes the market, and we're all together in a little global membrane, I've gone over this 100 times, and it's going to be mentioned on our series on McLuhan, which is coming up on CKLN. We'll explain why. There's no time and space. And Walter Wriston was on Wall Street Week last Friday night, and he said there's no time and space. He's talking like a psychic. He's talking like an Aquarian. He's the top banker responsible for all the devastating changes in the United States banking system over the last 15 years. He's saying there's no time and space. So Dr. Beter doesn't seem so far out, because he worked with those guys. He set up the Export-Import Bank in the 1960s. So Manfred Roeder gets a letter from Paraguay saying, Uncle is dead, died off the beaches of Brazil. Or died on the beaches? Yeah, off the beaches. In the water. So off the beaches of Brazil, he died. Okay, so the authorities notice this letter goes to Manfred Roeder, who's in jail for blowing up people all through the early 80s, and he's reading and distributing literature based on the propaganda function of Werner Naumann, who was assigned to be Joseph Goebbels' successor in 1945. Werner Naumann sets up all these newspapers, and General Edwin Walker phones one of his newspapers on November 23rd, 1963, and says Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist. Okay? And Werner Naumann is, meanwhile, setting up people like Hoffman and the man I just mentioned. Remember him? It began with Manfred Roeder. That's right. So Manfred Roeder, this triggers off the German police to investigate why Manfred Roeder is getting a letter from Paraguay talking about Uncle. They know who Uncle is. So what it means is that we've got to make Joseph Mengele appear dead, because May Brussel has connected the Fritz Kramer Ernst Zundel Institute of Historical Review in Torrance, California, who are notorious anti-Semites, apparently, which Dr. Beter predicted that there would be an increase in Hitler kind of propaganda against the Jewish faction, which is unfortunately a dupe of the Khazar Bolshevik faction that run the Pentagon, apparently. Apparently. But Manfred Roeder and Zundel are distributing this literature saying, and Keekster too, and Beter said that these people would get a lot of airplay, and they did, right? Right after Mengele. You notice when Zundel was in trial in Toronto, right in the middle of his time, Wiesel pulls out a little document saying, hey, Joseph Mengele was in Canada in 62. 1 year before the Kennedy assassination. He was making a deal. I mean, he was part of the Kennedy assassination, so, and the Torbert document says Major Bloomfield in Montreal was part of the assassination, so maybe that was part of the deal. Mengele could get into Canada if he cooperated with the assassination. But this is all speculation. This is speculation, right? I mean, this tape might be broadcast. The German police then contact Mengele's family, and they decide to say, yes, he died. So Mrs. Boser says, we got her bones, here they are. She wouldn't let them open the coffin because she was weeping. She was weeping so much, she considered it an insult. Meanwhile, Fritz Kramer and an Associated Press photographer are flying quickly to Zurich to give money to Mengele's attorney, which May Brussel smoked out because several people were following him and told May who he was, Fritz Steinacker. This is all happening in 85. Reagan just got in for his second term. And they're bringing out the Mengele hoax. And why are they exposing? Why is Mengele being exposed? And why are the Jewish conspiracy being exposed at the same time. Why? Is it a retrieval of the 40s because we've exhausted all cultural content? Pretty abstract. You know, my associate Tom Rich likes to get into the abstract stuff on the show, but I try to avoid it because I'm a technician. But secretly, I think about those abstract things. I can speculate with the best of them. I mean, I had David E. Wooster on the show today, and he's talking about the formula that was triggered off on September 5th, 1969, the psychic formula that allowed all former hierarchical systems to control people had secretly been switched. And that Pope and Reagan don't know this, and they're running around, going to take, if you look at my chart, the part of the second coming, they're coming in, and they're going to create the disease and offer the cure. I'm not in the band yet, you know, so, I mean, Andy, he's a great singer, but he can only sing for about an hour, and then he's got to take a break, so they hired me to fill in the gap, because we don't like dead air in Toronto, right? I mean, Frank Zappa says when he plays a gig here, he says the audience, when they're watching him in the garden, they're like watching him as if he's on TV. Is that because Toronto is influenced by McLuhan's media emphasis? Or Marshall was just a figure for the fact there was a media emphasis here? I'm just asking that rhetorically. Who? Monitor media. That's very good. You mean like we have to keep track of what the content of the media is constantly? Because we're living 200 years every 12 months. And we all want to live our lives to the fullest, so it requires constant monitoring of the content of the media, right? It's an addictive process. The problem is there's no pattern recognition offered on the content. But I'm trying to offer that through these sources. And the pattern recognition involves, in 1985, the Mengele's hoax. Wiesenthal, a prominent Zionist, says Mengele's is dead right away. But the Israeli government says he isn't. But the point is that Manfred Roeder got a letter that was sent to him with these implications of Mengele that was meant for the police to see so that they could then say, yes, it's time to say that Mengele's died in 1979. Hey! They are the death squad! Oh, I knew it! Skolnick said he knew a guy named Jack!
Bob Marshall, CKLN.
I'll get off if they play my favorite song called Signals. Is it agreed? I was forced to do this. I'm really a playwright.
Under the rock of duress, pressing a button and I come undone. Doors are empty, speaking mouth ending out. Come and sing. Luigi Bo Planchette can't be a conscious direction. Do 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 do, yes, 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 all this must be perfection. press single button, and I come undone. Those are empty speaking mouths sending out dumb insinuations. The sleight of hand effect can't be a conscious direction. Do 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 do, yes yes yes, all this must go to back. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can't be a conscious direction. Do 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 do. Yes yes yes. All this must go to perfection.